Hello, good morning. It's nice to be here with you on Easter. It's very different times as I look out at empty pews. However, they're not empty because, like Cindy said, we can feel your presence here and so much more than that. For 110 years, these pews have been filled with people. How many Easter Sundays is that? 110 years of Easter Sundays. I guess that would be 110, right? Anyway, I could really feel you guys today, so thanks for listening today and watching. I wanted to open up our meditation time. Last Sunday, Palm Sunday, we read a piece from James Dillett Freeman from this wonderful book called Angels Sing in Me. And James Dillett Freeman was one of our most loved poets who lived back at Unity Village. And so last week he wrote part one, and this week is part two. So I want to read this to you. And it's about Jesus, of course. It's entitled, The One We All Might Be, part two. There was one who showed us what we all might be, what height of fulfillment, what depth of compassion, what breadth of understanding might be ours, if we were all that we might be. Ours to love with a love that excludes none, but gives itself to all. To have a sense of right values, placing spiritual things first, yet using spiritual powers to transform the physical world. To be master of self and superior to circumstance. To be humble of spirit, yet conscious of eternal worth. To be at peace, yet to be a center of energy. To be God-centered, a focus through which His power flows freely in joyous achievement. To be unlimited in vision and to attain what we envision. To experience the fullness of compassion, yet to live to the fullness of joy. To be able to help all who turn to us, to bless the lives we touch, to turn sorrow into joy, hate into love, sickness into health, lack into fulfillment, death into life. To be one with the essential harmony at the center of all things, that is what we all might be. So for our meditation time, I'd like to invite you. I know that you're probably at home. Some of you might be on your couch. Maybe your kids are running around. I want to invite you to ask them to come over, sit with you. Kids love to meditate, but only for about 2 minutes. So we'll have a seat here, and I'm going to sit with you. Get yourself comfortable. And all of you kids, you know how much we love to play together. This is a time to be quiet with your parents. And parents, this is a time to be quiet with your children. And so I'm going to ring this beautiful bell 3 times. And let that bring you into your secret place within, no matter how old you are. And as the sound slowly dissipates, so let yourself come into your heart to feel that center of divine energy that you are. And now embrace your inner child. Bring it forward. That exuberant you, fresh, new, full of life, vigor, and energy, and simply let it come forth in its full expression. Feel the power in your heart, in your spine, in your mind, and all around you. And we'll simply rest here for a couple of minutes. Gently wiggle your toes if you can, your fingers. Squeeze your shoulder blades ever so gently together, and then open up your eyes and welcome back to the space. Such interesting times we find ourselves in for sure, and what a beautiful day it is here at Everett Unity. The sun is shining in through the stained glass. We've got some the people that Jenny acknowledged are here today, and so hello everybody, thanks for being here. We've had lovely music, it just has touched my heart. And we usually begin with a prayer in the ready room before we come out and do service, but we haven't been doing that because we've been busy getting all the cameras ready for service and everything, and so Jenny's prayer was so lovely this morning. It was just what we needed, so thank you for that. And the song, Savannah and Terry, thank you so much, and Steve for running the sound system, and Cindy for everything that you do, thank you. I wanted to start today, we've been working with Lent quite a bit, and Lent is that 40 days until Easter, and in Unity we do Lent a little differently, as we've talked about in all the recordings and talking about Lent over the years. One of our textbooks from Charles Fillmore is called Keep a True Lent. And I just want to read to you his introduction to it, because it embodies what Lent is before we get into our Easter Sunday lesson. Charles Fillmore says that Lent is a season of spiritual growth, a time for progressive unfoldment, that when we blend and merge our mind with God mind, the way is open for the Lord to glorify us and lift us into a higher, purer, more spiritual state. That is just what we are doing. Nothing more and nothing less. So we fast on what doesn't serve that purpose, and we feast on what does. It's that simple. So in preparing a talk for Easter, it's always interesting what happens as the years go, and a deeper love of what our story is as Christianity, as Unity. And so this thing has come to me this year about the power of myth. Because did Jesus really exist? Is it really true? Could this magnificent story actually be entirely true? Well, maybe and maybe not. But does it matter? Because it's done something to us, not just us in Unity, but us as a world. The story of Jesus Christ is in the hearts and minds of the world, not just America. Just like this new challenge that we have has affected each one of us, there's a huge corollary there. So in 2,000 years, how will they talk about this virus? Surely the story won't be exactly how it happened. There'll be elements of what actually happened. There'll be embellishments, and there'll be complete fabrications, but it'll be rooted in the truth. And that's what I think happened with the story about Jesus. It gets richer in that way. So myth is not, sometimes we think it means not true, it's complete myth. But mythology is different. Mythology is the living, evolving, breathing story of humanity. How cool is that? So I look at this and I started to realize that the divine works in threes. And there's this strange set of paradoxes that we've come to realize. We've got to surrender to win. We've got to give it away to have it. And we've got to die to be reborn. Boy, that can be a real bummer, can't it? So the divine process is always stages of three. If we think about it, we've got the divine masculine and the divine feminine. But it can't do anything without the divine offspring, which perpetuates. Nearly everything on our planet has some sort of interaction between those three forces: father, mother, creation. So in Unity, we call that Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which simply means mind, divine mind, idea in my mind, expression as my life. So in the story of Jesus, that divine life is fulfilled not just in his life, but in his crucifixion, in his resurrection, and in his ascension. That's a huge thing to think about. Can you imagine being Jesus? We did last week a little bit. riding the donkey into Jerusalem. Everybody's shouting and having, you know, so celebrating the Messiah that's come to save the world, that he's going to be with us for all this time and help us to change things. But Jesus knows that's not what's going to happen. No, in fact, they're going to slaughter me. And that's how I'm going to fulfill this mission that I have. And so he says to them, destroy this body, go ahead. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. There it is again, the Holy Trinity, the three, the thing that makes it come into being, because there's a process to everything we do. Oftentimes in speaking, I'll say something, and then I'll say something else, and then it will need a third thing. What is the third thing? And it always comes when we attune the way that Charles Fillmore talked about. Today in our world, with what's going on with this teacher, this virus, is that we are in the very midst of a sort of a crucifixion. But we will resurrect. We will be born again. We often say that it is our choice just how we will be reborn. But is it? Am I doing or am I being done? Do you ever ask yourself that? In unity, a lot of times, people get really riled up because somebody will say to them, well, you would heal yourself. You could heal yourself if you could, and you just need to do it, you know? And that we call that metaphysical malpractice. Well, am I healing myself or am I being healed? Well, there's this thing in there, and I don't know the answer to it. I just know that I'm both a co-creator in my life and that something is working through me. And so I see that on our world stage, what's happening now. There's something that's happening. This great teacher has come, and we don't understand it. Just like 2,000 years ago, nobody understood what Jesus was ever talking about, because he was always going on about being killed and raised up again, and people couldn't get that, because they thought, when you get dead, you're dead. And Jesus said, no. We can rise above all this world. And we can live a life in God that will blow your mind. And that's what this whole thing, I think, is about with the crucifixion and the resurrection and the suffering and the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to us. One fellow said, you know how Jesus was drug around a lot by what they called Satan in the Bible, and he was showing all this stuff. You can have all this if you just follow me. One fellow said that the crucifixion was the last great temptation. Would Jesus exercise his divine power and pull himself right down off that cross and walk away and live the rest of his life out? Or would he? Obviously he didn't. But why? Because he needed to fulfill something. He always said, I came to fulfill this law, not to abolish it. And when he was on the cross suffering, he was suffering not for himself, because he had the power to ascend at any time, but he had to go through that process. He suffered for the ignorance of those who would crucify him, because he knew how it made them suffer. And not just them, like with our opening prayer, what you do matters. How you are ripples out into the world and affects the consciousness of the entire planet, just as it does in our church here when we're all together. Even now, through time and space together in the heart, we affect each other. How we think, how we feel, how we pray for each other deeply affects each other's lives. And so Jesus knew that, and he wept for that because he knew the repercussions that it would cause. But remember, he was a prophet, so he also knew that there is one power and one presence of infinite goodness, and that you cannot destroy that in its entirety. So he also knew the deep power of forgiveness. And that forgiveness thing comes up how many Sundays a year? At churches across the world, how many people talk about forgiveness? Because we too know the power of it. And so Jesus on that cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know the repercussions that they're causing. when they hurt somebody. And we don't know the same repercussions that we cause when we hurt somebody. And we do it innocently. So this time right now, this teacher that has come is teaching us how to come together in a new way. We needed to be separated. We needed to have space put between us so we could consider something. What is it? Well, we'll know. We'll find out. Because we're in the process. In the deep center of a deep process. So in this way, Judas was not a betrayer. Judas was absolutely necessary in order for Jesus to fulfill his mission. And Jesus knew that. He knew he'd be betrayed. He knew that it would be Judas and how much he needed that to happen. Because if Judas had not betrayed him and he had not been arrested and he had not been tortured and crucified, his story would not have had the efficacy that it has for us today. It has often been said that Judas loved Jesus more than any other apostle. And I can see that. And so what did Judas do after he betrayed the Christ? He hung himself. Just like we do today. When we can't handle ourselves, we condemn ourselves. And Pilate, remember Pilate, Jesus got brought to Pilate. He said, this man's innocent. Pilate metaphysically represents external conditions. Pilate did not want to have Jesus crucified. He didn't want to have him hurt. He didn't want to have him put to death. But he couldn't say what he really felt. He couldn't bring what was in his heart and actually say, we're not going to do this, because he was under Roman rule. And he had to answer to other people, and they wanted things because they were power hungry. And they said, you're going to do this or else what's going to happen? Well, Pilate's going to be up on the cross, and he didn't want that. So he again sort of betrayed Jesus in a different kind of a way. And don't we all have our Pilates? Our reasons that we don't live up to the values that we hold dear in our hearts. A reason that we will not show up as the highest expression of what we can be. You know, there's so much to this Jesus story. I mean, I think if I talked for 2 whole days, we couldn't even scratch the surface of the entirety of it. So I wanted to pick a few little things to talk about with this today. And one of those things is another Trinity. You remember Jesus is up on the cross, but so are 2 thieves. And they're on the left and the right of Jesus. And this forms a powerful vortex, this Trinity. And the one thief, as they're hanging there dying, he says, man, I know I deserve what I'm getting because I've done all these bad things. But you don't, Jesus. You don't deserve this. Well, he was living in the past. And the second thief, he said, what's going to happen after this? Jesus, what's going to happen after we die? Where are we going to go? He's future tripping. And what does Jesus say? Thou shalt be with me in paradise today. Today. It happens right now. So we've got the past, the future, and the present, fulfilling another Trinity. It's a process of unfolding time and space. It's really quite deep when you think about it. How did all this happen? In the King James Version of the Bible, the last thing that Jesus says there is, why hast thou forsaken me? Haven't you heard that? I always thought that was a strange thing that Jesus would say. Maybe it was because his body was deeply suffering and he was identified with it. But that's not what George Lamsa says, and it's not what I feel. George Lamsa says that what it actually translates as is, it is for this purpose that I was born. Can you imagine coming to the very end of your life having played your music? The song that was in your soul, knowing that you fulfilled it. What could you do? Who would you be at that point? I think this is what Jesus is teaching us, that we have a song to play and we need to play it no matter the cost. A victorious life is not an easy life. So Jesus dies and these other things happen. We don't have time to get into them all today. But he winds up being put in a tomb. And remember, there's 3 days. He's crucified on Friday. Saturday is a very quiet day. How was your day yesterday? I was in deep contemplation for most of the day, this underlying knowing that this is the day of silence, of rest, where Jesus was in his death, in his process. And so just at that time, some people come to the tomb, and I think two Marys did. Mary Magdalene and Lazarus's sister come to the tomb, and I think there were some other people there, and the stone was rolled away, and they run in to find Jesus' body, and there's no Jesus, but there's an angel. He says, don't worry about it. Jesus is fine. And Mary can't handle it, and so Lazarus' sister runs off. Mary Magdalene hangs out, and she starts to weep and cry, and she sees somebody, and she says, she thinks it's the gardener, and she says, where have you taken the body of my Lord? And he says, it's Jesus, you know, and she doesn't know it. And so he kind of tries to comfort her, and then she suddenly realizes that it's him. And so she runs to give him a hug, and he stops her. He says, no, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. You see, he was in a process. He was in a process of being reborn into a higher life. So when our process is an activity, we can't get in there and touch it. You know, there's this talk with this virus thing going on that we all want to get back to work. We all want to get back to the way it was. Maybe not all of us, but a lot of us. And they said, if you do that too soon, what's going to happen is a whole bunch more people are going to die. And maybe that needs to happen. I don't know. But there's a process happening, and some of us want to settle down into it. We want to know what's happening. We want to know how we can rise up into a greater life for ourselves. So Jesus says to Mary, don't touch me, but go tell the others who believe. Don't waste your time on those that don't believe. Go tell the ones who do believe. And so she goes and she does that. So Jesus then goes through this thing of appearing to his disciples, of appearing to the people who believe. And once he did fully transcend his physical death back into his physical body, he came back and he appeared to his disciples and he breathed the living spirit of truth upon them to initiate their transformation. Because at this time still, the apostles still did not believe in themselves. Like many of us, we don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe that we can transcend the pains of physical life, but we can. And so Jesus breathes, and when he breathes on them, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. He gave them the power of forgiveness. And then you'll remember, after a little while, the disciples and apostles go out and they start to perform the same miracles that Jesus did. But it took a little while. And that's why Jesus stayed in his body for 40 days and did all this appearing to people. He even ate with them to prove that he had a flesh and blood body. And you remember Doubting Thomas. I love Doubting Thomas. He says he wasn't there when Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into the disciples. So he came later and they said, hey, Jesus stopped by. And Thomas was like, right, what are you guys smoking? You know? And he said, I won't believe it until I can put my finger in his nail wounds and put my hand in his side. And Jesus felt that too. He found Thomas later and he said, Thomas, come here, put your finger in my nail wounds and your hand in my side. And Thomas just, he got proved. And so he said, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. He just knew. And the same thing happens to us when we experience a divine miracle. Anybody who's fallen flat on their face, said a prayer, and been lifted up, has put their finger in the nail wound. So the third time, I love these threes today, the third time Jesus appears, he appears to his disciples, Peter, and a couple of the other ones. These guys are still pretty bummed out. Jesus is dead. Yeah, they've appeared to him a couple of times, but they're still not kind of sure about this. So that Peter says, I'm going fishing. And he goes to go fishing, and I think a couple other guys went with him, and they can't catch anything. They're just not catching fish. And then all of a sudden they see somebody. And he says, throw the net on the other side of the boat, on the right side. And so they do. And all of a sudden, they can't catch enough fish. I mean, there's just fish coming everywhere. And fish, metaphysically, represent divine ideas. All of a sudden, Jesus says, change the way that you look at everything and you'll catch those fish. And so they did. And from that point on, things started to change. The disciples started to go out and perform these miracles. So Jesus is doing all this. He's eating with them. He's materializing at will and then vanishing in an instant. He's proving what he is. Jesus fulfilled the crucifixion and the resurrection he had always spoken of throughout the whole of the Gospels. Through what? Through that time that he was on the cross. Through perfect forgiveness and love. Forgive them, for they know not what they do, embodies forgiveness and divine love like no other concise statement. Then he simply ascended, having fulfilled his mission to bring the Holy Spirit into the conscious awareness of all. Now think about that. That ascension of Jesus. That is something that occurs within us. The second coming of Jesus Christ is actually the coming of the conscious awareness of the living Christ. It's everything that we pray about. It's everything that we've talked about in our Lent readings. It's everything that we do at Unity. We lay a hold of eternal life within us, and we share it with each other. Sometimes we just say it's going to be okay, and we just know that it's going to be. That's all it is. It's brotherly and harmonious action, where we give each other the best that's in us. It's a heck of a thing. Paramahansa Yogananda gave the world a tremendous gift. In addition to Autobiography of a Yogi, he wrote a book called The Second Coming of Christ. And the subtitle is actually The Resurrection of the Christ Within You. It's a profound book. This is one of two books of this size. And it deals with stuff that my heart hears what my head can't. And one of the things that he says in here is that it is the spirit behind the body of Christ with which one should strive to be united, to rise from the tomb of ignorance and realize in the ascension of the soul the resurrection of the Christ within. Then can begin those miracles. We can do just like the apostles did, just like Jesus did. You know, he always told us we were going to do all that stuff and more. Nobody ever believes him. Nobody ever really believes that. Kenny does. So right now, aren't we in the midst, can you see, of some kind of a great crucifixion into some kind of a great resurrection? What will we resurrect into? What will we do differently in our worlds, in our lives? What will you do? Okay, if you've gotten your time off work, how's it been, a month? Are you gonna go back to work? It's hard. Got the garden planted finally for the first time in 10 years on time, right, or whatever it is. There's things that we wanna do. We're able to settle down a little bit more. We're finding out something about ourselves, or we're gonna be risen up into that. But then there's another part, and it's the ascension. It could be that at this time, April 2020, we are living in a time where history will look back and say, oh my God, what happened in 2020? We're in the midst of that, you and I. It's no small thing that we do, and I'm happy to be walking with you. So how does it pertain to our three things? Do you remember what they are? Surrender to win, give it away to have it, die to be reborn. Happy Easter.